coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for this Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Every time I look at the new program clock we have, Eric the Tech, I just want to say thank you so much. Welcome everyone to this episode later in the show. Stan Deo from standeo.com, of course. But, you know, there's a litany of headlines. And this is, I just want to speak plainly, obviously. How else would I speak? I just want to kind of just say this. In today's environment, today's news environment, you know, there's a lot of things to cover. And I'm not a fan of the inch deep, mile wide coverage. I'm a fan of taking something, taking a topic and drilling down deep into the subject matter. And I think a lot of times we do ourselves a disservice by just glancing at the headlines, reading the first sentence or two. But then again, isn't that what Twitter, Facebook, and some of the other social media outlets, isn't that what they more or less kind of want you to do, right? Without really finding the finding out what really matters. Before I get into my topic today, I received a wonderful, very passionate email from Karen in Rome. And Karen, I'm going to be answering you on this. You know, folks, one thing that's not being shown on the mainstream, lame stream, captured corporate media, bought and paid for corporate media, is the uprisings worldwide against this totalitarian jackbooted thuggery that's taking place all across the world in Western nations. You will get jabbed, or you won't have a life. You know, we as Americans, and I realize this goes out to 165 plus countries, we as Americans tend to think Amerocentric, I suppose, and think, well, hey, if I can't see it, if it's not happening in my neighborhood or in my region, it's just not happening. Well, that's not the case. Australia is an example. They are pushing back like you can't believe. Austria, the Austria population, in Rome, and, well, Milan, Rome, all of it, Italy. You saw that yesterday, some film clips yesterday. The pushback is mighty, but then the blowback against the mandates are mighty. And this is not about health. None of this is about health. None of this, they don't give two whits about if you live or die. As a matter of fact, they want you to die. And I'm going to say something a little bit controversial right now. I've been getting more and more emails about things like smallpox and Ebola. You know, what could round two bring to this, to quell the uprising? And believe me, based on the people writing me, and that's the best way, by the way, to get me information, very simply, Doug at HagmanReport.com. I read all of the emails. I can't respond to them all. I've got nearly 200,000 in my inbox right now. It's unwieldy, but here's the deal. If you have information you need to get to me, that's the best way to get it to me. All right. I'm telling you right now. But I've been hearing from a lot of people, significant people, saying that, hey, you know, the test run for the tyrannical approach was the SARS-CoV-2, that whole process. Well, I've been getting more and more people saying, okay, the same people saying that, no, no, there's something more in the works. And Bill Gates and Fauci, of course, are just a couple of the front men to roll this out. There is an interesting video, and I don't have it. I'm not going to play it. It's an hour long with Tucker Carlson. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. exposing the depopulation control freak Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and government collusion. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You've got to watch that. You've got to watch that video. It's an hour long. It's 52 minutes long. And it has a lot of critical information. Please, please do yourself a favor. Watch it, understand it, and share it. Because I don't know how long this is going to be up. But I have to say that that is a major, major piece of work by Tucker Carlson. And again, regardless of what you think of Tucker Carlson, I don't care. I don't care what you think of me. I mean, I do, you know. You make me cry sometimes. Curl up in the fetal position. What? Did you say something? Eric the Tech?
It's okay, little Dougie. It's okay.
Yeah, can you see me curl up in the fetal position crying? No, I don't think so. I'm not built that way. All right. Anyway. Well, thank you, Eric the Tech. Thank you so much. You're such a... He does lend me his, what do they call those? Mental service dogs or whatever?
I'm your safe space.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Eric's my safe space. We spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't. Ew. Anyway, but pay attention to what's coming, because I don't think we've seen really what's coming. And you know, there was a... let me just real quick here. I wasn't planning on doing this. I've got some very important things to get into, but I wasn't planning on doing this. I want to just tell you something here. You remember Maria Canis, right? She's a great lady. Maria Canis, just a superb lady. She wrote Prepare for Persecution way, way ahead of her time. She pointed something out to me, and I remember this, but I had forgotten about this, all right? I remembered it when she reminded me of this. Dr. Doom, all right? There is a video by Alex Jones, Missing Bioweapons, Pianka, and the Mindless Cogs in the Beast Machine. This goes back to 2013. There is, and there was a video about this, and also a transcript from the speech that started it all. Dr. Doom Pianka speaks as well, that she had sent to me. And this information mirrors information I'm getting in real time, human intelligence, about the globalists, unsatisfied or dissatisfied, more grammatically appropriate, with the uprisings and the pushback from the lockdown, coronavirus lockdown attempts, want to roll out something a little bit stronger. And again, this taps into a meeting that goes back to 2006. They've been planning this for a long time, folks, what we're seeing right now. So understanding the fact that they've been planning this for a long time, brings me into my second point, all right? Let me make sure I'm flowing with him, otherwise I'll get yelled at by Eric the Tech, and then he'll make me cry. I'm flowing with the show notes I provided with or to him. This kind of gets into my second point. In order to have a jackbooted thuggery and agenda rolled up, what do we have to have? What do they have to have? They've got to have the ability to quell uprisings, the ability to neuter any kind of dissent in all ways possible. Now, here's a big deal. There's two parts to this. well, actually, multi, there's many parts to this, but I'll say three parts to this. Number one, what the globalists, the non-sovereign, non-populists are trying to do, they are trying to federalize or consolidate power of our national police force, develop a national police force, consolidate power. And that national police force will be part of a global police force answering to a globalist power structure. That's their intent. So they've got to get rid of like a lot of things locally and by state. Well, how do they do that? Programs like Defund the Police. Rashida Tlaib, in case you missed that interview, saying, we've got to get rid of all of the federal prisons. Boy, doesn't that sound rather utopic, right? No, it doesn't. I mean, in reality, no. But so there's that defunding the police, legitimizing organizations like BLM, Antifa, which goes in conjunction with taking down the statues, removing our history, forgetting our history, attacking our history, misrepresenting our history, all of this combined, all right? But there are other facets to this as well, including the January 6th panel, the House January 6th panel. They're going after a lot more people here 11 months or 10 months, 10 plus months after January 6th. On the screen, which I was going to get to momentarily, but thanks for putting that up. House January 6th panel subpoenas Roger Stone, Alex Jones, and three others. Now, when I saw that headline, I had to take a deep breath before I got into that. Because, Eric the Tech, as you know, we're kind of waiting for this to happen here. Now, what? He says, what do you mean me? Or what do you mean we? If folks know when you were tuned prior to January 6th and on January 6th, you know that we were involved in providing some support, logistic support, some communications with people that did appear on January 6th at the state capitol or at the national capitol. But obviously, you know, no one broke any laws and it was peaceful. But there was some lead up to January 6th and based on what I've been told, the January 6th panel has been making some inquiries about yours truly and about this platform, and I'll leave it at that. But Roger Stone, Alex Jones being subpoenaed, and three others. I'm going to be getting back to that in a moment. But there's other parts to this as well. If you speak out, like, for example, Ted and Austin Brower do at school board meetings, and we do as well, just we don't publicize what we do. There's letters that are written. There's conversations that here locally that we have against critical race theory, against any kind of oppressive mass policies and such, because, again, we don't want to just be the chair force. We want to be out there and changing things. Well, that's all part of the program, too. That's the FBI / American Stasi, American-style Stasi, or Gestapo, I don't care what you call it, but it's tyrannical. And even the rank and file, in my view, I used to have respect for the rank and file of the FBI, but if you follow orders, no, you know what? You're no good, in my view. To hell with you. I used to have respect for the FBI, members of the Department of Justice. I have no respect for you whatsoever any longer. None. You come to my door, you're not being invited in. That's a whole different, I mean, I used to have, I won't say a revolving door with FBI agents, but FBI, a good relationship with the FBI, not any longer. But I'm going to show you a clip, the only clip that I'm going to play today, or really the only major clip I'm going to play, is this from Steve Bannon. Now, you'll notice behind Steve Bannon a sign. I'm going to just kind of get this out of the way first. There are no coincidences, or there are no conspiracies. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. There are conspiracies, provable conspiracies, So I'm not down with that sign. I'm not down with that sentiment. There are conspiracies. There are criminal conspiracies. And they are being planned at the highest levels of our deep state denizens. All right, so let's play this clip. This is about FBI terrorizing innocent Americans after the 1-6 protest at the Capitol. This is about 7 minutes long. I think it's worth all of it. Go ahead and play that.
Let's go now to Julie Kelly, the great Julie Kelly from American Greatness. She's been covering the 6 January situation with more in-depth analysis and reporting than anybody. And you know, Darren Beatty's done a fabulous job. Julie's there every day grinding this out. Darren kind of knits this together, these big, huge connection pieces that makes us understand this. Julie Kelly's kind of the tip of the spear in the reporting itself. Julie, thank you. Can you get us up to date on exactly what's happening right now?
Well, thank you, Steve, for that introduction. Thanks for having me on. I think we're up to about 700 defendants now. The FBI is arresting people every week. We're now 10 months past, what are we, almost close to 11 months past the 4-hour disturbance at the Capitol. So they continue to arrest people. They continue to, this is the DOJ, Merrick Garland's DOJ, who's going after mothers across America too. They are delaying discovery obligations. They still don't have a platform accessible for all the defendants and defense attorneys to access thousands of hours of surveillance video and body-worn camera footage. They are now pushing trials into the middle of next year, even for defendants who were arrested a week after the January 6th disturbance on Capitol Hill. And so it's just a lot of games playing. But you know this, Steve. It is ruining the lives of people, hundreds of families across the country. And we're talking about a pool of about 700 defendants. The overwhelming majority, probably 80%, are charged with misdemeanor offenses. There are 4 common misdemeanor offenses. But it doesn't matter because the FBI is still raiding their homes at dawn with armed agents, arresting them at airports, tracking them down. I just got another email from a woman today about what her and her husband have gone through for months, including being on a restricted TSA list, delayed for hours at the airport, followed by TSA agents for parading at the Capitol charges. These are like Class B misdemeanors. And so that's just part of the problem. And we could talk a little bit more about what these DC District Court judges are doing. Now sentencing people like Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, allegedly that's his name, that's how he's known to the public, charged with no violent offense, spent 317 days in solitary confinement, and a federal judge just sentenced him to 41 months in prison for obstruction of an official proceeding. He pleaded guilty to that felony.
Right,
just a travesty.
Okay, so you heard this, and you can keep that up there. You heard this. This is a backhanded way they're going after anyone who supported, showed up, protested, made their voice known on January 6th. In some cases, people unrelated, had no relationship whatsoever to the protest, happening to be in Washington, D.C. at the time. Could be visiting a relative or on business, or some other reason. Now listen to me, getting phone calls and other inquiries. Hey, what were you doing there? This is a massive, in that case, it's a massive fishing expedition. But in what she's talking about, this is absolute political persecution. Go ahead with this.
DOJ is getting away with, and what they are doing to innocent Americans across this country.
I want to, given the BLM and the destruction, anarchy of Antifa and all this, you know, we saw in Kenosha and other places, the burning of America around the Capitol, trashing, you know, right outside the Hay Adams Hotel and the AFL-CIO, all of that, just to complain, St. John's Church. The city was in absolute turmoil in June and July, the summer of 2020. Go back there. You got 700 defendants. 80% are, you're saying 80% of these are misdemeanors?
That's right. The overwhelming majority, these between 80 to 85%, are only misdemeanor cases. You have roughly 120 or so who have been charged so far with assaulting or attacking police officers. You've got about 70 who have been charged with either possessing or using a deadly or dangerous weapon. This includes things like pepper spray, a skateboard, which I thought was interesting given how prosecutors were downplaying that attack on Kyle Rittenhouse with a skateboard, because someone has been charged in the January 6th investigation, where a skateboard is called a deadly and dangerous weapon. We still have dozens of men suffering under pretrial detention orders. There are roughly 40 in the D.C. gulag right now, denied bail repeatedly. This includes nonviolent offenders who committed no violent crime that day, didn't assault anyone, didn't carry a weapon, didn't use a weapon, didn't destroy any property. Then you've got at least a dozen more in different jails. This includes members of the Proud Boys, also men who largely are not charged with any violent crime. So this is intended to be a scare campaign, terror campaign, really, against Americans on the political right. This FBI continues to terrorize people every single week, DOJ continuing to bring charges for misdemeanor offenses.
No, let me ask you, for the violence that was done that day or for others, they keep calling them insurrectionists. I want to get to the more serious charges. Has anybody been charged with insurrection?
No, not a single person.
I want to just make sure everybody understands that. Julie right. Kelly, the top reporter in this area, has any one of the 700 10 months after this, with this massive investigation, has anyone been charged with insurrection?
Not a single person has been charged with insurrection.
I'm missing it when and you know they're in trouble. And let me tell you, MSNBC, you got to suck on this and embrace it. This is why you've lost independence. This is why the Biden administration is cratering every night. You start last night with everything's going on in the world and this radical restructuring of the American economy. And, you know, your terrible handling of the CCP virus, the invasion of the southern border. I can go through everything. Inflation, the supply chains. You pick it. Right? You pick it. Only 30% of American independents support your regime. Okay? Yet you lead your shows last night for the first 30 minutes with the January 6th investigation. The January 6th insurrection. They're all insurrectionists. Julie Kelly, let me ask you for the third time. 10 months into what they've said is the biggest FBI investigation ever in domestic stuff. You know, you got agents, you got task force, you got all of it. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, all of it. Has anyone, ma'am, been charged with insurrection?
Not a single person has been charged with insurrection.
Okay, pause that right there. Because here's another thing that was not gotten into that you need to know. The Build Back Better bill has made way for 87,000 new IRS agents, bringing that number up to 170,000 agents. You might say, well, what does this have to do with the January 6th? What does this have to do with anything that we're talking about right now? What this has to do with the tasks of some of these agents will be to go on the offensive against these, quote, insurrectionists, as well as those identified on the watch list, on the terror list, domestic terror list, implied by, inferred by, the Merrick Garland DOJ October 4th memo about school boards. Okay? This all is connected when you go deep, again, not the inch deep, mile wide, but the mile deep, inch wide focus on what the information is. They are building an arsenal. They are building this battalion of offensive people to go after you and I. All right. This is, again, Steve Bannon talking with Julie Kelly. And at the beginning of this, how bad, how widespread this is. Okay, we can kind of cut that off right there, and go back to the first item that you had up on the screen. This is widening; the net is widening as well. And the reason this concerns me, Lawfare, wrapping someone up in an investigation, issuing subpoenas to appear before a really illegitimate 1-6 committee. I mean, how crazy is that? Alex Jones, Roger Stone, and two others. that list for 1/6 subpoenas is going to grow. And this is not a small investigation. This is an investigation. If you, I was trying to think earlier what we can compare this to. Think about the Russiagate or the Steele dossier. All right, this is kind of making things up out of whole cloth or exaggerating the threat and then widening it to unbelievable proportions. So if you can stick that article back up on the screen, Eric the Tech, this is about Alex Jones and Roger Stone. All right, and folks, I really pay attention to this because this is, again, this is one of those this is one of those things where this list will only get bigger. And if you look at the article from breaking911.com, that's the source on this, you've got Chairman Benny Thompson announcing that the Select Committee has issued subpoenas for 5 people as part of its investigation into the 1/6 attack and its causes. All right, now we're talking about, again, a rather inchoate crime, if a crime at all, even if it was applied to the standards that they're using. They're looking at conspiracy, which, again, I take that sign behind Steve Bannon. I want to tell him to take it down. But the Thompson, what he said, Benny Thompson, who's a piece of work in his own right, said that the Select Committee is seeking information about the rallies and subsequent march to the Capitol that escalated into a violent mob attacking the Capitol and threatening our democracy. There's a lot wrong with that sentence. I won't get into it. We need to know who organized, planned, paid for, and received funds related to those events. Again, remember the 87,000 agents? Just saying. Received funds related to those events, as well as communications organizers, had the officials in the White House and Congress. We believe the witnesses we subpoenaed today have relevant information, and even if they didn't, who cares? It looks good, and it's one hell of an inconvenience, believe me. And you know what? They're coming. They're not done here. They're coming. Just heed my warning. They're coming for others. And believe me when I tell you, you're not safe from this either. All right. We believe the witnesses we subpoenaed today, as I said, have relevant information, and we expect them to cooperate fully with our efforts to get answers for the American people about the violence on January 6th. Why am I making a big deal of this? I'm making a big deal of this because, really, never before, Holder, Kissinger, as I mentioned earlier programs, Lois Lerner, who got subpoenaed. You think that they honored those subpoenas? No. Did a grand jury ever issue the arrest warrants on misdemeanor charges like they did for Steve Bannon? No. Do you think they will for Alex Jones, Roger Stone? Yeah, they're going to. And others? Absolutely. So consider this, ladies and gentlemen, a warning. I'm not stupid. I know where this is headed. And it's not headed in any good place at all. Just want to tell you that right now. I'll add this, as I've been saying many times during this show. You know, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but we will anyway, but the silence of our friends. Consider that. And also remember the cultural Marxists and the communists embedded already in this government, and those who occupy the levers or handle the levers of power in the globalist agenda. They want to destroy the West, yet they want to enjoy its bounty and fruits after they've destroyed it. Please remember that. Also, I want to mention this as a kind of changing gears now. One thing that's not getting much play at all, but I think is really a key component to things that are going on, is the Ghislaine Maxwell trial that's going to be starting on the 29th. We should have daily coverage of that trial. I'm telling you right now. Now, there are no cameras in that courtroom. There are reporters that will be there. But this is bound to be one of those trials that will embarrass or should embarrass a lot of people. We are on top of this. Given what Russ Dizdar, God bless him, given what we've found in the investigation, it's still going on. Thank you to the team. Ghislaine Maxwell's name came up more than once. Jeffrey Epstein, his name came up more than once. And I'm talking about direct witnesses. I'm not talking about secondhand information. I'm talking about statements that we were able to take. And again, I hope one day to bring you all of this. Might have hit a speed bump, but I'm going to tell you something. We ain't stopping. I'm going to leave this segment on kind of a humorous note. The state of the media. I saw this, and I remember this now. I remember this. I saw this, and I thought, you know, people have got to kind of laugh at the state of the media, don't we? Watch this clip from MSNBC. Spoiler alert. Do the math in your head ahead of time. It's only a 30-second clip or something like that. Do the math in your head ahead of time when you see the picture on the screen. Go ahead and run that one.
But you see it as a possibility. If he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear.
Okay, Bloomberg spent $500 million on it. Just for the people who aren't as quick as most people, and that includes me. So here it says for the radio audience, Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. The U.S. population is 327 million. Eric the Tech, you got that down? Okay. Now, this is MSNBC. He could have given each American $1 million and still have money left over. I feel like $1 million check would be life-changing for most people, yet he wasted all on ads and still lost. This, of course, is aged. It didn't age well. I don't know who the Muppet is that posted that. But in doing the math, yeah, okay. What does it come out to? Like $1.25, $1.20, $1.30? Me, I don't know. But for crying out loud, go ahead and finish this so I can mock Brian Williams more.
U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics. And it makes it difficult because what we want in
And you want to be my latex salesman. For the people who don't get that, you have to be a Seinfeld watcher when it was on. $1.53, according to Eric the Tech and his quick calculator there. And these are the people we're supposed to listen to, these Muppets.
That's very difficult math.
Yeah, I'm telling you, really. Okay, so, but you know, did you notice like everybody's going, Brian, what? Yeah. And these are the people we're supposed to be listening to about very important things? You got to be kidding me. All right. I just had to get that out of my system. I thought, leave on a more of a humorous note. So again, just to wrap up, we're going to be following Ghislaine Maxwell. That trial, believe me, a lot of stuff coming out on that. Trust me when I tell you. and we'll watch the 1/6 dragnet, the Stasi style, the secret police style dragnet there, the 87,000 agents. What do you think they're being, tasked with? Of course, anyone who doesn't follow along with the globalist agenda. All right, Stan Dale from standale.com. One of my favorite people in the world, because Stan has got like the, I mean, he's the man. Stan is the man. Stan the man, of course. Him and Holly do a wonderful job at standale.com. And he also has a great product. And this is going to become more and more relevant now. EMP Shield home protection, car protection, generator protection, business protection, protection. And this makes a great Christmas gift. I'm going to tell you right now, buy like a ton, buy a bunch for everyone you know. If you can do it, do it. I mean, first take care of yourself, kind of like the oxygen masks on planes, you know, put it on yourself before you help a child. But definitely go to empshield.com, use promo code Hagman, plus there are volume discounts, so you want that as well. Before I get to Stan, you know, I want to thank, too, our corporate sponsors. We don't have that many, but the ones we have are hand-selected and sponsors I believe in, I've used, and they're good companies. One is Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. You know, as we enter in, this of course is the week before, the week of Thanksgiving. As we enter into the holiday season, a lot of times people will use credit cards for discretionary purposes, the purchases and what have you. And sometimes, you know, even from last Christmas and last holidays, or even throughout the year, sometimes you have multiple credit cards and they get out of control. The interest rates. Look at your interest rates. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult for me. If you get credit card interest rate bill or credit card bill, and you look at the interest rate and see what you're paying, it's like, holy cow. And it could keep you up at night. It could. It's got a very adverse effect on your attitude, at least mine. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Now, the rate started at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit, plus the rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money the same day as you apply. You know, Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. I've heard from so many people who have used this company. Myself, you know, I'm going to tell you, right here, the family, the studio, our extended family members, absolutely, they've used this with great success. They've saved anywhere from 50 to, in one case I know, about $790. That's $800 a month in fees. You might say that's an extreme case. Oh, yeah? Check your rates. All right. Just for my listeners, this is what you need to do. Just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Hagmann. 1G, 2Ns. No Y. I'm kidding there. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% unpaid discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. So what you need to do is visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. That's lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And again, great company. I want to thank them as well. And I want to thank Stan Deo as well for being a class act. Stan and Holly Deo, the two fine people. I appreciate them more than they know. And I appreciate all the work Holly does, Dare to Prepare. My goodness, that book is fantastic. If you don't have a copy, again, Christmas is coming, right? If you exchange gifts, Christmas is coming. Dare to Prepare. Cosmic Conspiracy, a lot of great information from Stan and other works of intellectual interest. And you know, the last I missed the Patreon meeting last Sunday, and God, I was kicking myself for missing it. Join Stan Dale's Patreon as well for exclusive meetings, and he does a great job. I mean, fantastic job. I'm still blown away by the first one I ever attended, but that's just me. And of course, you know, follow Stan and Holly, bookmark their website. And I think I've drawn that out enough, right? Don't you think? Okay. Eric's throwing stuff at me, so I guess that means, yeah. Stan, how are you, sir?
Oh, good, good. You know, just following the news like everybody else. It's still chaos out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm sorry to take away from your time, but I'm glad you're up there in the sky, in the clouds. Is that what that is? Or
Yeah, we're okay. Orbiting the planet today.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And when you get over my house, just stick your arm out and wave. Okay.
Well, I'll think about it. Hey, speaking of media and silly things, the same breath, on my show images page today, I've got slide 56 at the top in the middle. And this, you know, this is in keeping with the Biden lies that happened, you know, and the disinformation. Although this is true, what I'm going to read to you, it is just a ridiculous, pitiful offering. We're seeing the gas prices go up at the pump near double now what they were last year this time. So the White House on Tuesday said it had ordered 50 million barrels of oil released from the strategic reserve to bring down energy costs in coordination with other countries, including China, et cetera, et cetera. In 2020, the United States consumed, this is my note here, consumed an average of about 18.19 million barrels of petroleum per day. So this is just 2¾ days of oil consumption that he has released. Big deal. Not really. I mean, you know, people that don't keep an idea on the stats, you know, and check on the government reporting, that they'll think, wow, 50 million barrels of oil, that should bring the gas prices down. It might for 3 days. But after that, it goes right back to where it was. We just use so much. People just don't realize how much we use every year. Anyway, I just thought that was odd. But in keeping with
Biden, you know what I've been doing, Stan, and I'll admit this to you. I don't care. I'll admit this. It's not a crime. I did that Biden stickers out there. Every time I go to a gas pump, and I try to go to a different gas pump every time, I put an I did that Biden, Joe Biden pointing, saying I did that. And I try to stick that sticker to the price per gallon. And I've seen a couple of them scraped off already, which I put some on, I put it back on. But, you know, yeah, so it's not, so, okay. Okay, so we're paying more for gas. We're paying more for food. We're paying more for energy, everything. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's how much more? We're paying, what, three times as much in gas as we were a year ago, I think.
No, I think it's two times, but it could be three, but I think it's two, because if you look at, say, a $4 average, it'd been around $2. So it's just around double.
Okay, but even so, that's, yeah, okay. Jeez.
There'll be an easier question on the next math exam. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, 317, never mind. $1 billion and whatever.
Anyway, yeah, it's just nonsense coming out of the White House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, another thing, I've gotten several emails from our listeners about what's the status of UFO sightings. Now, in slide 55, I link you to a military report, and that military report, which is in the text link there, says that last year in 2020, they had 7,200 sightings, which was 1,000 more than in 2019. Now, what I've looked up on that was, where is that link here? Oh, just a second here. Well, there is a report come out this year already, a National UFO Reporting Center, which is NUFORC.org, NUFORC.org. Now, there are graphs available which show on the site here, which show that the sightings were up to over, you know, 7,700, which the military quoted from this report here. But when you look at the graph this year, which they haven't really published yet, it's going to show that our reported sightings are down by maybe 60%. I think at the moment we've got, let me just see here, I've got a record of it here in my calculator. Yeah, we've got 3,354 reported sightings through the sighting center here in Washington State. And, you know, that's under half, and we're already almost finished with the year. So the sightings are going to drop down, folks, for those of you that were asking me about it and wondering. I do think that, as I've always said, that when the crisis curves, you know, pandemics, nuclear war threats and nuclear war actuality, the collapse of the world economy and various other things like this, when these get to a crisis point and the world is about to explode, then we're going to see that the UFO alien presence will become more manifest. And, you know, I really think that this first wave of fallen ones, which, you know, the media would probably going to call Elder Brothers of Space or something like that, this first wave are going to appear good, but they're going to be bad. And it will trick even those of us who want the Illuminati gone, because you will see that they will come in and set up a new world order under their man on Earth. And the Illuminati will be the first ones that they take out. The banking systems and all that will be destroyed, taken out of the game. A new digital system will be put in place. And for those that aren't really aware of what's happening, they will think, wow, great. The Illuminati, the bad guys, have been taken care of. We're going to have peace, love, and harmony and safety on the planet. And we're approaching that moment now. When you look at how many countries have access to nuclear weapons, not whether they produce them, but have access to, something's going to go off somewhere. We're going to see, I think, in the Middle East, real pressure over the Israel-Iran confrontation. Now, Iran is the one doing the pushing. It says it wants to destroy Israel, wipe it off the face of the map. And Israel is saying, I don't think you ought to do that. And the reason why is that we can defend ourselves. And when you look at slide 53, the prime minister of Israel is meeting with Biden, that fellow is occupying the White House. And it says, U.S. lawmakers say Israel is alone regarding Iran. Don't rely on America. Cooper Wasser wrote on the news, on the news site, that 2 weeks ago, he received a clear message from members of the Congress. And that message was, regarding what Israel might expect from its strongest ally if Iran keeps developing its weapons program, do not rely on American backing, certainly not on direct American action or American aid. You are alone and do what you think you need to do, but you're not going to do it with our help. So in other words, we're backing away from supporting Israel against Iran. It should be no surprise that Israel is going to use nuclear weapons to defend itself against a nuclear attack from Iran. And I stress that I believe that Damascus will be one of the main targets that we will see, and it will throw the world into a panic once they see a nuclear weapon has been used again in warfare. No matter who uses it, it kind of, you know, releases the permission for other countries to do the same thing. It's just,
so, you know,
sorry, go on.
No, so... yeah, this concerns me, the positioning with our allies in general. So you've got China v. Taiwan, Biden saying, you know, one China policy, which is just totally ridiculous. Now you've got Israel alone in the Middle East, non-U.S. allies, based on, I mean, how does our military leadership feel about that? The Iran, Israel situation, or is that part and parcel to this new woke military that we've got?
Well, slide 54 on our show images page here today, I report something from last week. General John Hyten, which is the second highest military rank in our country here, spoke to CBS News on last Tuesday about China's weaponry. The second ranking general in the U.S. military has sounded the alarm about China's weapons development, warning that Beijing may soon have the capability to launch a surprise nuclear attack against America. Well, that's not coming from, you know, just an average person like me. It's coming from the number two guy in the military here. So you got to pay attention to that surprise attack. Now, there are also threats from Russia coming to get us as well. There was a let me just see if I've got that up here about that weapon. Yeah. Slide 49. This is after that report was made last Tuesday. China's new hypersonic weapon is even more shocking than previously thought. Now, reported they had this new supersonic weapon, and a lot of other news agencies did as well, that it could go around the planet at five times the speed of sound and deliver a bomb to a target. But experts at DARPA, the Advanced Defense Research Projects Agency, revealed that China's hypersonic weapon that took the world by surprise in July had an additional ability, capable of flying at five times the speed of sound while carrying a nuclear warhead. The weapon, essentially a space vehicle, fired a projectile in mid-flight. Now, at five times the speed of sound, you got to realize that the aerodynamic stresses on that missile are huge, but they figured out a way to launch a secondary weapon while they're at that speed in mid-flight. The experts there, DARPA officially, are saying they're unsure of how this was achieved and don't even know what the purpose of the projectile was. It could be for jamming. It could be, you know, defense against, you know, airborne defense systems. But at five times the speed of sound, it's going to be very hard, once you detect that, to get something up in its path, because by the time you get to where it was, it's already gone. It's just too fast for what they publicly tell us they've got in defense weaponry and detection. Certainly, it's too fast for Iron Dome. Mm. So between that and what that general was saying, you know, about China's weaponry and a surprise nuclear attack, you know, the writing's on the wall.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Marvelous. Yeah. We're really facing that situation.
Well, you know, you had mentioned, I don't want to go necessarily backwards, but you had mentioned the price of oil and the strategic oil reserves. The strategic oil reserves, it's my understanding, those were created really for emergencies such as war or, you know, some terrible catastrophic events happening both nationally and internationally. And by tapping into them, I think it's a hugely bad idea. But okay, especially in light of what we're seeing now with the saber rattling of the of countries. But go ahead.
Well, back on that subject, I mean, the strategic oil reserve, I think, has 600 million barrels of oil in salt mines in the Southwest, and that's where they store it. But if you look at the facts that we were looking at earlier about how much we consume per day, say at around 20 million barrels a day, mm-hmm. that gives us 30 days of oil in any emergency if you drain it right to the last drop. And that's not much, you know, it, I guess in modern warfare, that's plenty, because if we last 30 days in a modern war, it'll be a miracle. It's more like how many hours do you last in the war to see who won. Anyway, the nuclear bombs and the EMPs, pulses and the diseases, we'll go quickly.
And yeah, one last thing about that too. I don't think people, especially people who just read headlines and I don't think they understand that the oil is priced in U.S. dollars across the world, that being the world reserve currency. The money supply has grown 35% over the last 2 years, which is largely, I would argue, that's largely responsible for the rise in the oil prices to some extent, and also being at the mercy of OPEC and other exporting countries. So, and when the dollar is devalued, of course, due to the increased supply in dollars, the price of oil does rise. In this case, that's not, I could argue, or I suppose an argument could be made, this is part of it. But that aside, I just wanted to throw that in there too. The economy is not what they say it is. Okay.
No, it's not. And to help that along, the collapse of our economy, when you start hitting businesses and causing them to close down, you'll go bankrupt. Like slide 41, we're talking about this thing we saw in the news the last couple of days. Massive armed mob in 25-car caravan rolls up to California Nordstrom store, and 80 guys run in there, ransack the entire building, and walk out with what their boodle or their booty they've taken or stolen from Nordstrom. They keep it under $1,000 limit. They had calculators. They were seeing how much they had stolen, which was legal under the law there. If it's less than $1,000, you can shoplift and get away with it. This is this is chaos. And, you know, it's going to be spreading across the country. People say, oh, I can get freebies. And you destroy your economy, you destroy your country when you do that kind of stuff. And they don't follow that on. It's the immediate gratification by stealing. And
I went over that yesterday. That was a definite conspiracy. You had a number of cars. They blocked off the road. They went in concert with one another into Nordstrom's. This, I believe, was in San Francisco, right? California? Nordstrom's?
Yeah.
I have to ask myself, why? You know, why are they doing this? Well, when you have a soft district attorney, you've got soft laws redefining, and there it is right there, folks, on the screen. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for putting that up. And the police, you know, their response was lukewarm at best. They only caught like one or two. But the fact of the matter is, this is what's happening today. And you know what? The left, the media, the globalists, they're not covering this. So there it is. Thank you for mentioning that, Stan.
Yeah, well, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, 40, 50 years ago, we'd never imagine something like this happening in America, because the average person was a decent, you know, law-abiding citizen. And now we're in anarchy, really, when this kind of stuff starts. We've lost control.
It's hard to imagine, you know, talking like this, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, people wouldn't believe. Well, some people would, but my, how far we have fallen when you have that cultural Marxism and communist mindset. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. It's unbelievable. And it's a sign of the times. Actually, that's an interesting thought. Let me see here where I've got that. It's on our webpage at Holly Updated Today with News. And there's a link to Strange Prophetic Perils of 2 BC and 2022. In other words, 2 BC and 2022, there are similar things happening. And it's a video that Perry Stone has put together. And it might be worth watching. You know, it's...
You're on yesterday's news.
Okay, well, anyway, sorry, that's not on our website anymore.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Okay, sorry, she said that was yesterday's. Look up Strange Prophetic Perils, Perry Stone, and have a look at it on YouTube.
I saw that from yesterday, Holly. Thank you for putting that up. Sadly, Stan's day late and a dollar short, right? But Holly, that was a very interesting clip that you put up there. Thank you for that. Folks, that's why you've got to bookmark standale.com, because Holly's up, you know, at 3-4 in the morning her time, putting stories up, and you know.
Well, now let me ask you, Holly, is it today's news about the Australian COVID camps? Is that on today's news?
What's the date? It
says the 23rd. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the right one.
Dear.
And I'll tell you what, you know, we married up, Stan. We really did.
Yeah, I know. Let me just see where it is on the page here before I, let's see.
Eric the Tech, you did too. It's my daughter.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Runs in the family, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't be looking fast.
Okay, well, it must not be on the news site for today, but yesterday. Anyway, I wanted to bring that to our attention here, because we've been hearing reports, as I said last week, from people in Australia that tell us when things are happening there. And we knew that the army was going to, in northern Queensland and in the north of Australia, we're going to go door to door seeing if people had, you know, their COVID vaccination.
Might have pulled that off your website yesterday. I'm pretty sure
Australia
I did.
Australia builds COVID camps for new class of lepers.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes, I don't know whether the article in detail, whether you read it or not, but in the northern part of Australia, you have primarily Aboriginal, Aboriginal cultures. And so I'd say 80% of the people that they've been putting into these COVID camps are Aborigines, because they live in crowded, you know, unsanitary conditions, even in the homes that have been built for them by the government. Sometimes they even rip apart the floors and the walls to burn it for firewood during the winter. But because they are so backward in their hygiene, they are just rampant with this COVID stuff. And of course, any other thing that might come along. But I find it amazing that this is happening in Australia, because it's such an easy going, she'll be right, mate, culture. When Holly and I were down there, but in 20 years, it's just gone really extreme.
Have you seen the blowback from Australia, from the UK, from Rome and Milan, Italy, from Croatia? I mean, the media is not showing what these people are marching in the streets in numbers, to quote Helen Reddy, in numbers too big to ignore. My apologies for that. But I'm telling you, this is not going to end well if they keep pressing for these. And Stan, what would we played this. This is a compilation from different, I believe, from different locations. But, this is a blowback against this totalitarian kind of activity. So in Australia, let me ask you, in America, if they tried this in America, I don't think it would end well. I don't know.
What's the difference? Why wouldn't it?
Well, guns.
There you go. They took all the guns away from the population of Australia, so they feel safe. Then all they can do is throw rocks at them, and then the police can shoot them, the army can shoot them.
Yeah.
Here, at least we have the means to defend ourselves.
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Just
so
sad.
Yeah, and we appreciate you putting that up yesterday on your website. And again, standale.com. Please bookmark that website. Check the headlines every day and the news articles every day. Holly does a great job. So, yeah, this is something.
All right. Let's see. Okay. I'm trying to prioritize things here. Most of the news today has been, related to war and warfare weapons. The slide 50 talks about the Iranian Navy. It's going to acquire three new warships, one capable of launching missiles 300 kilometers away, say about 190 miles offshore of Israel. They could launch it from the Mediterranean, and possibly if they could get into the Red Sea, but that's a long stretch. On Sunday, the Iranian Navy announced that it will be supplied with three new warships in the current Iranian year, which ends on 20 March 2022. So in the next 6-7 months or so, they're going to get these new ships. But they're also building these ships. I mean, they're not just buying from some other country. They're putting them together. So when they do that themselves, there's no restriction you can put on them, really. I mean, the Biden people will not even help Israel, so they're not going to do anything except help Iran and allow them to do this kind of stuff, plus the nuclear weapons that could be launched from these ships. We are so close to an all-out cluster of missiles being shot at everybody, at each other. It's just unbelievable. And we can see, this is why the treaty is going to have to be drawn up after this exchange occurs. There's no choice. Israel has no choice but to defend itself. When somebody, if Mexico were on our shores here saying, we're going to destroy the United States, or we're going to destroy Washington, get rid of all this and New York, and we're going to launch an attack on you, would we sit here and say, well, in normal times, we'd sit here and say, look, you can't do that. We're going to stop you. We're going to put restrictions on your trade or whatever, and we'll impose these penalties on you. But no. In the keeping with what's happening to Israel, we'd sit down and say, okay, we'll knock out Washington, knock out New York, and we'll think about what we'll do to retaliate, maybe. This is crazy. This is just crazy.
Here it is.
In slide 51, I've only covered the surface vessels, but Israel is starting to develop a new fleet of advanced autonomous, like not crewed, but they take care of themselves, the electronics do, advanced autonomous surface vessels. Israel Aerospace Industries announced a new partnership with Edge, a company, an advanced technology group for defense. The two companies will jointly develop a new fleet of modular unmanned surface vessels that will be used for various military and commercial applications. Edge's manufacturing arm specializing autonomous vehicles says we will be in charge of the design of the vessels and will join forces with the Israeli defense company to produce 170 of these surface vehicles. So that means that they're planning to have, you know, naval strike and defense devices in the Mediterranean, possibly in the Gulf of Aqaba. That's just another sign that they're expecting invasion or attacks from the sea, like this Iranian ship that can launch a missile. I don't know what particular defense capabilities are on board these modular systems. They're not going to tell you that. But I would suspect that it's some way to bring down a normal nuclear missile, you know, not a 5 times the speed of sound thing, but a normal one launched by Iran. We are just going to see this spark happen, and Israel will bomb the dickens out of Iran, and then it's going to be on for one and all. I still think, you know, from a lot of reading, that Russia is going to be our first threat. And Russia will attack us when the United States goes into civil chaos, civil war. And we're very close on that. I mean, when people can just march up and into your store and steal stuff without any legal repercussion, and people can have clubs and things and guns and firebombs and go and destroy property when they feel like rioting, usually led by terrorist groups pushed in by the communists. When you see that, you know that we're approaching anarchy, which will demand civil war to try to straighten out the legislation coming out of Washington. As we say every week, they're not a duly elected group occupying the White House. President Biden is not the legal president, nor his staff, any of them, legally elected persons. They stole it, and we're at war. Now it's going to be war in the streets because people will have to stand up and defend their stores. Rittenhouse type example, right? You're not going to go any further than this far and no farther, and I'm going to shoot you if you do. We're there. We're seeing it start to happen. So when the civil war hits us, understand that Russia will be close behind, and if Russia doesn't do it, China will. Between the two of them, they're going to take us down.
You know, Stan, I'm not sure I mean, I'm not advocating for this, but I'm not sure I really... I don't see a way out. I don't see a way out because, again, I talk about the people being dogmatic on both sides. And really, you don't negotiate with terrorists, and you certainly can't negotiate with communists or globalists. So they want to destroy us. What's our only alternative is, in my view anyway, is to, if you can't negotiate or if you can't, convince your way out of it, you're going to have to fight your way out of it. That's just my view. And I see it as inevitable, short of a miracle, you know, the hand of God. But that's just my view.
And, you know, maybe it didn't say it specifically about the United States, but prophecy has told us this day was coming, this time at the end of this age where, you know, evil will reign and where good people will be called evil and evil people will be called good. Everything will reverse. As you say, we have no choice. And if we don't do it, they're just going to tear the country apart and put us in prison camps and kill us anyway. Yeah. So if we stand up to defend ourselves, it creates a civil war. And again, this is not a pleasant outcome for the entire country. Mm. We're in a chess move that's blocked us in.
Oh, man.
My good news?
Good news. I'll see if I've got any good news here. Holly says, is there any good news?
It's Thanksgiving Thursday. American Thanksgiving.
Hey, okay, there we go. Were you able to get turkey this year?
Oh yeah. There was a glut of turkey, of course, as pointed out by all the leftists around me. Yeah, sure. We got turkey.
Were the prices normal or were they up?
No. I mean, according to Biden's government, Mr. Marbles the mouthpiece Psaki and company. $51 to feed a family or feed 10 people. Of course they were up. Of course, you know, yeah, it's sickening. But I digress. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just checking to see what it was in your part of the country. I know that we've been seeing these prices go up in the New England, the Eastern states, yep. But Holly went down to the Walmart here and had no problem finding a turkey she wanted at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, reasonable. Yeah. I guess it's a relative thing. But we're seeing food prices go up in the, you know, it's that bait and switch kind of thing. What used to be, 12 ounces is now 10 ounces for the same item, same price. It's, you know, shrinkage.
Well, like steaks, when you go into a restaurant and get a New York, you know, cut steak or whatever, you're going to find it weighs less. That's just the way they conserve cost of production. Boy, good news. She says good news. Well, slide 37 is kind of good news on La Palma. It continues to lose seismic energy. Is the end of the eruption near, according to Bushcraft Beer, it might be. And looking at the data, which I do frequently, the La Palma Island itself, certainly seeing a lot of earthquakes underneath it, and mainly they're moving over to the eastern side away from the escarpment there that might collapse. But the numbers of earthquakes, you know, are dropping. You can look at the graph, and they are really slowing down. But this is a beautiful picture. If you click on the picture, it enlarges to a very nice picture at night over where the lava is running down into the Atlantic on the western shore. And I just thought it was just a really nice picture to share, even though it's destructive. I realize that, but it's beautiful fireworks there.
Well, Purdy, I mean, it's I'm in awe of nature, by the way. The more I see of this, and I really, you know, up until a couple of years ago, I really wasn't aware of this, but I mean, awesome display of nature. So that's what that is.
Well, and slide 38 going with this thing about La Palma. If you click on the picture, it's the last 3 days of earthquakes, and you can see the clusters are off to the right of the ridge. You know, they're afraid of falling into the ocean and causing the tsunami. I'd say that looking at this, that if you look at the actual picture up there of La Palma, and off to the right, there's a little white box that shows those same earthquakes, but show where they are, you know, south and north. You know, you're looking at the left of the picture of cluster there, and that small cluster is what's happening down in the old eruption zones. Over on the right are the new earthquakes happening, which are, you know, further up the coast away from that activity. So if you got an eruption there, okay, it might throw smoke and ash over the Canaries, whatever, but I don't see that side would be any problem. And if you look at the bottom white box underneath that island picture, you see two clusters, the same two clusters, but it's looking at the depth of them. And the new clusters are deep and to the east. So I don't think that what we're seeing there is telling us to panic over La Palma at the present time. I mean, you know, I could be wrong. Other tectonic forces could release more magma and surprise us all. But the general pattern since September, when all this started, is that the graph has gone, you know, downhill and is continuing to have little burps of, you know, several days of large numbers of earthquakes, but then it passes. But not enough to raise the graph significantly. Okay. Now, you know, I'm wondering about the reporting on COVID deaths. Where you get an accurate report of the people that die of COVID, is it because they die of COVID or because of underlying illness, you know, like unhealthy diabetics or, you know, heart conditions, things like that? And you can't really separate those because they had COVID. But then in the UK, they've been doing, the Health Security Agency has been doing research on the people that were vaccinated and what percentage of them are dying compared to the unvaccinated. Four times more people die who are vaccinated, four times more people die than the unvaxxed. So it's telling you that the vax, you know, it's either causing death or, you know, not helping to prevent COVID from destroying these people. It's not a good advertisement for getting the vaccine. Let me just see.
Stan, you know, we, aside from the deliberate obfuscation of the figures, even what one would claim to be anecdotal evidence, the totality of anecdotal evidence to me, and this is just me looking at this, I would say that this is a deliberate, in my view anyway, a deliberate, this is all deliberate on the part of the vaccine pushers. It's not a vaccine, this genetic modified serum that therapy that they're using, or therapy can suggests something positive. But to me, this is depopulation. Okay. And the COVID, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which I believe was artificially created in Wuhan by way of Ralph Baric out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, along with Fauci, who funded that, Collins, who funded that, and Xi Zhengli, or Zhengli Xi, whatever you want to call her, the bat lady. You know, when you look at all of this combined, this is a conspiracy on a grand level that I believe, and I mentioned this the first hour, goes back to, you know, early in the 21st century, even late 20th century, the plans to depopulate the planet. So I don't know. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but the numbers, if people were honest, the numbers would be readily available, because we know there's surveillance being done on the numbers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you're not off the track. I mean, I've got two stories that link to that. Slide 45, that an alert had been sent to the Department of Homeland Security leadership warning that 15 questionable vials labeled smallpox were found in a freezer at a Merck facility outside Philadelphia. Bill Gates warned of smallpox bioterrorism 2 weeks ago. And just reading in the text of this the slide there, the revelation of the most recent mishandling of the virus samples comes less than 2 weeks after billionaire Bill Gates called for an international task force to prepare for a smallpox bioterror attack. In an interview with the former UK Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, for the Policy Exchange think tank, Gates called for a $1 billion WHO pandemic task force to carry out germ games. I hate to see those two in the same sentence, game and you know, bioterrorism. But is it odd that, you know, 2 weeks after Gates says this, that, oh, they suddenly discover some locked in a freezer somewhere, you know, at Merck? Does it sound contrived? Yes. You know, I just, and that's smallpox, which, you know, we thought we'd eradicated on the planet. And admittedly, 2/3 of those vials were like vaccine rather than the actual virus itself. But when you couple that with another guy called Pianca, Dr. Pianca, or Professor Pianca at the University of Texas, up in slide 57, he wants to cull 90% of human population with viruses like Ebola. But are we, this report came from several years back when he made this paper. And the audience there, which were academics and students there at University of Texas, when Dr. Pianca was making this presentation, he's calling for destroying 90% of the people with controlled releases of, you know, viruses like Ebola, which are pretty quick. And he says it doesn't string out the sickness, it lets them go quick. And, you know, when he finished his dissertation on that, and the audience stood up and gave him a standing ovation for his work on that. I mean, what kind of lunacy is this, that they get up and all applaud killing 90% of the people like this? I mean, birth control would be another way to cull the herd naturally without killing people out of order. But no, he's calling for let's assassinate, let's make genocide of the people. And with Wuhan, with the viruses coming out of there and derivative viruses, you have to wonder if they haven't been genetically engineered to kill certain DNA types on the planet. You know, if your base DNA code has the thing that the virus, the coronavirus, can attack, then you and all like you in that DNA pool will die. And it's an act of God, you know, sad. And I agree. That we are overusing our resources. You know, our populations, many of them in the industrialized countries, have become fat and lazy, and we use energy for, you know, all kinds of nonsense, you know, wasted energy for entertainment and travel. And you know, with gay abandon, where the power comes from, or where the wood comes from to, you know, fuel your fires and the coal for, you know, electricity and things like that, people aren't paying attention to that. And to get their attention, you know, articles like this, kill 90% of the people, may catch some people and get their attention, but far more the majority of people just are, you know, existing every day. They aren't watching the news, reading the stats. Look at India, you know, I mean, how many of them have TVs? They may have TVs in most homes, but I mean, they're not watching the news. They're watching entertainment, aren't they? Just, they're not watching what's happening. On slide 40, talking about that the nations are overusing natural resources faster than they replenish them. So these useless eaters, those 90% of us that are overusing the resources, you know, having five turkeys a week and leaving the lights on all night, forgot to turn them off, big deal. You know, wasting power, you know, wasting food resources and things like that. When we're looking at that, we are not replenishing these resources. We're losing croplands. We're losing, you know, animal production stuff in various areas because of the drought. We're not replenishing what we're consuming. So we do need to put the brakes on. But I don't think the answer is to kill everybody. I think the answer is to have extreme birth control so that we start having a negative impact on the number of people living on the planet.
Did you say extreme birth control or earth control?
No, birth control. Birth.
Okay.
They try this in India, which is one of the big offenders because their religions in the country promote having big families, you know, and their economic poverty promote having big families. So you got more to go out and beg on the streets or, you know, get income for the family somehow. When they tried 20, 30 years ago to put controls on birth and to get people to start using condoms and things, there was a revolt, and the Gandhi family was trying to do this. And, you know, they started assassinating him. And it's ignorance as well, because when they told the people of India in the poor villages, use this condom and put it over, you know, the penis of the male, whatever, to show them how to do it, they took a broomstick and put the condom over the end of the broomstick. This is how you're supposed to do it, right? So people were putting the condom over the end of a broomstick and put it in the corner of the bedroom, still having babies. You're fighting ignorance. And then religious laws, dogmas. It's hard. It's just hard to, if people won't cooperate, they're going to kill us all.
Well, I mean, okay, here's what I'm fighting with. I don't think, look, I don't know, but I think God does provide for our planet. You know, look, I know we have to be responsible stewards for our planet. I mean, that's just common sense, but obviously some people don't have common sense, but I don't know. I just think there's enough for everybody. That's just me. And I think God, that's just me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not making sense. I'm babbling. The words are falling out of my mouth, but I agree that there's some irresponsible, even here in the West, even here in the United States, when somebody has, you know, multiple wives, multiple children, they don't take care of the children. I mean, it's unfettered, whatever. That's a problem in social problem as well as a population problem. But then it gives another idea. But I understand what you're saying. I just don't. I don't know.
If you put yourself in the position of controlling the planet's resources and stuff, as the large corporations and banks do, if people won't listen and won't be responsible, individually responsible, then you're left with no choice. Either the whole race dies, or you call the herd by an act of God. Or Allah, if you prefer that word.
And as you mentioned, Priyanka feels, going back to 06, which I mentioned in the first segment, Dr. Doom, that Priyanka wants to, you know, take out all but 10% of the population through some sort of bioweapon. And that's, to me, that's an incredibly evil situation. But on the flip side of that, to say, you know, I just can't imagine living in an America where, you know, hey, you can only have like two children, period. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's like a pretty ethereal law.
Look at what's going to happen. If they don't engineer this virus to kill off a percentage of the population, where we're at the moment, we're having our resources threatened by drought and weather, your climate changes that are taking a lot of our food resources away. When you take food resources away, people get fairly angry very quickly, and they they'll riot. So the governments of these countries, you know, where people are rioting for food, the governments will say, okay, look, we need to get resources from some other country, and we'll take them. We have to do that to survive. So basically, whether you have food or energy resources being taken or being fought over, you're going to see multiple countries fighting each other for resources to survive. And so that will kill a lot of people just from the warfare. And when you add the virus type things that are there, bio warfare, you know, the Nazis perfected a lot of this in World War II, but now it's gone much further and been developed to a higher standard. True. And can be genetically engineered.
Yeah, that's now you're right on that. That's true.
We're just doomed.
and hey, Holly, good news again, right? We got about 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left.
Oh, good news.
Show.
Good news.
So, good news. Come on, let's talk about puppy dogs and rainbows and unicorns and stuff. I can't do that, right?
Well, just a second. Let me go over to our website and see. Okay, well, that's bad news there. I'm looking at our webpage here. I'm trying to find good stuff here.
you know what's good, though, is I do think that, I just want to say thank you for blessing this platform as you have with your knowledge and such. And again, thank you and Holly for, I mean, to me, that's good news. Friendships are good news. And you know, as we kind of go into these days that seem to gonna be dark, good friendships, people that you can count on, and, you know, being in the circle of the friendships that we have, it's important. So I consider this good news, the fact that we're all here together.
On our webpage here, standout.com, and the photo of the day, there's an interesting one for the scientist in the audience. The Fibonacci series of numbers form spirals and things like that, and you can see a picture of the inside of a sea critter here. What is it? I forget what they call it. It's like a snail, but fossilized shell. Anyway, it has been postulated that the whole universe is designed on the Fibonacci series of numbers, right, which can create spirals and curls and things like that. And I thought it was an interesting photo for the scientist anyway. Holly's got several videos up on the site to link to. One with Tucker Carlson interviewing a young Rittenhouse, which is, when you see it in the interview versus in the courtroom, he's a much saner kid. He was being used for a cause, obviously, but there's, like I say, four videos to look at today, and three of them, at least, are interviews with Rittenhouse. Well, four of them, actually, all of them. And I have more respect for the young man now than after they got rid of all the media hype and stuff. And I don't know how they're going to protect him, because you can change his name, but you can't change his appearance, which is quite unique. And,
Yeah. Yeah, I fear for that young man, his safety, and... But then again, as you said, you can change his name, but changing his appearance is going to be very difficult. Well, Stan, I want to just say thank you so much, both to you and Holly. We're at the end of almost at the end of the show here. I want you to have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, thank you for that. And by the way, she's got the link and the video of the week number 2 on our website that goes over to Strange Prophetic Perils to be seen in 2022 of Perry Stone. So she put it up as a second video of the week. So
thanks, Holly.
She's gone upstairs to let our office lady in. She's barking.
Okay. So. All right. Well, Stan, God bless you, my friend. Thank you so very much. Give Holly my best. Have a great American Thanksgiving, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, we have more. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. I just want to say, tomorrow, regular schedule. And of course, we have Thanksgiving off. Appreciate that. Thanksgiving Day off. Got to give Eric the Tech a rest. May God bless each and every one of you, please. What's that? Oh, we are having a show on Thanksgiving. We are. Okay. Well, I know. Good night.